have the power on. Transparent, coming down to us. That takes care of us. Anybody just thank God for that? That he takes care of us. Takes good care of us. I dare somebody just say, in spite of me. Listen, that's enough right there. In spite of me. He still takes care of me. Amen. Thank him for his Holy Spirit. The God director of our steps. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Y'all believe that? Amen. I told you on Thursday that we was going to get into the Word of God. And as we come into this year, we want to be a church that's focused in the Word of God. And we allow God's Spirit to move. But I tell you what, that if you don't have no Word in you, ain't no power. Ain't no power without no Word in you. And you have to have some Word. I've been talking to certain people, and I tell you, there's some spiritual attacks that people are going through. And I've always said that I told you that 2014, there's going to be some spiritual attacks. It's going to hit you in the door right there. As soon as you get ready to do something, it's going to come up against you. It's not going to even wait till you finish praying. It's going to happen before you pray. And it's going to happen during your prayer. It's going to happen during your... How many of you know he attacked you in your sleep? So those some real believers that know what I'm talking about, that when you're trying to sleep and the devil comes and attacks you in your sleep, and you're trying to wake somebody up to wake you up. Amen. Oh, God. I want to get in the Word of God, very familiar scriptures, and I pray that you have your Bible. You to bring your Bibles, that we're going to get in the Word. Amen. We thank God on yesterday. I believe the Holy Spirit came in the house on yesterday. The homegoing service, Brother Simmons. Amen. God blessed us. Amen. I thank God Regular was here. I said, if don't nobody say amen, they're really going to say amen. Amen. God bless you. We was joking in the car on the way to the cemetery. And I said, well, I guess we the only one go to Bible study. Just joking. Just joking. Just joking. But we have fun in the Lord. It's good that when you can have a good time in God. Amen. A good clean fun. Y'all believe that? Amen. I thank God for the preachers and the officers. Amen. That stood by my side all the time. God bless you. We love all of you. Thank you so very much. Amen. Those that are over teaching our young youth department. I want to get into this Word of God. Please hold your Bible. Keep your Bible with you. No need to stand at this time. We're going to go not too far. Just look at a few things. Amen. And we want to stay on it. We're going to use for a peculiar text. I'm going to tell you this now so that you can let it mess with you while you're reading. The Lover and the Safe House. Amen. The Lover and the Safe House. Amen. Just let it marinate in you. Amen. Amen. The Lover and the Safe House. Oh, God. Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. So you didn't even have to go far for that. That's the first book. Amen. After it gives you all the names of the books in the introduction, it goes to Genesis. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And then I want to look at verse 8, and then chapter 7, verse 1. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Everybody have that? Let's read it together. And God saw. Only evil. Amen. All right. Read verse 8 with me. But Noah God. Chapter 7, verse 1, let's read it. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I before me in this generation. Amen. All right. The lover and the safe house. Father, we turn everything over to you, God. We come in the mighty name of your son, Jesus. We pray, God, as we begin to teach, preach your word, that your spirit, God, will enter into this place. And God, that I decrease as you increase. Oh, God, in Jesus' name, it's all about you, oh, Father. Holy Spirit, we welcome you inside of this sanctuary. Be in this place. Come in this place. Open our eyes that we may see. Open our minds, God, that wisdom and knowledge may flow. In Jesus' precious name. And we all say, amen, amen. The lover and the safe house. I looked at the dictionary because I knew that some of you would really go to one particular part when we talked about it. Help me, amen. I mean, everybody holy, everybody. Nobody don't know what I'm talking about. God. In the dictionary, this is what it says. It says, a person who is in love with another. I wanted to read that part because it does say in love. All right. And some of us were saying a person who has a sexual or romantic relationship with another. And it does talks about an extramarital sex affair. But the part that I want to focus on, that's where it says, a person who loves, especially a person who has shown a warm and general affection, regard for others. Then it talks about a person who loves another, who is in love with another. And when I looked at that, it made me think about Jesus, who's in love with you and I. Ain't that good to know? He's in love with us. Listen, not just love us, in love. God help me. So it really, if I was to just go back to some of y'all when I told y'all to read Song of Solomon, I just deal with that. Then I tell you the difference between love and in love. Help me, somebody. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. We getting somewhere now when you say that. See? And what happens here when we look at it, that the Bible speaks about brother love, loving your brother. The Bible also speaks about family love, sexual, erotic love. And then it talks about divine love, which is agape love. When we talk about brotherly love, we're talking about if I love my brother, if you love your brother, if we love one another. And that's important to also have that love. But what happens is that love can be also limited to just the one who you call your brother while they are your brother. God have mercy. It means as long as that we are brothers, I have that brother love with you. But guess what? There's always a lie between brother love. Help me, somebody. Then we have that family love. That family can just be centered around your immediate family. Also, it can extend to a niece or nephew. Not evidently, it can be all of your family, because if we really think about it, all of us is family. Amen. And so family love means here is that I have enough food for everybody in the house, but I don't have enough food for your friend. Y'all don't hear me. And that type of love is only centered between you and your family. And then there's another love between a man and a woman that ones have towards each other. And that can get flaky sometimes. Flaky, rather. It depends on who's in control. Help me, somebody. Don't get quiet on me. Don't get quiet. Don't get quiet on me. And then that love can get mixed up, because sometimes we have gotten really to the point now where we really don't know what love is. Because of all the things that you've been through the years, it makes you say, I love them. I don't want nothing to happen to them. But I ain't in love with them. Come on, y'all. I don't know why y'all acting. Y'all know what I'm. I don't want nothing. I can't stand them sometimes. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Some folk don't want to hear this, but I'm telling the truth. But sometimes I just can't say, because of the action. And listen, we're human. We're flesh. I do understand it. Because of the action makes you feel that way. But what's important for us is to understand agape love, God, that divine love, that God love. Because when brother love runs out, I still have divine love. Oh, help me, somebody. When family runs out, I still have divine love. When that relationship is thin and thin and it's not right, I still have divine love. And can I tell you something? That love, can I tell you what it does? It would fulfill all my needs. Oh, God. Anybody want to be fulfilled in all your needs? Can I tell you, divine love, agape love, will fulfill all your needs. Many of us in here today, we're so mixed up, because one moment you think somebody loves you, and the one moment when something is not right, you think that they don't love you. You're mixed up on understanding what real love is. And some people say, well, real love would have made you not do it. Yeah, that's true or not. But real love, divine love, will love you in spite of your doing. Oh, God. See, I'm trying to help somebody here. That's what real love is. Real love is, in spite of what everybody has done in here, you can forgive them. But yet you have people in here right now, you are still angry with somebody for something. And yes, it does sound bad because of what happened. Well, listening to you, it does sound bad. But there's always two. Help me, somebody. But divine love say it's in the past. Divine love say throw it in the sea of forgiveness and remember it no more. That's what divine love is. Because divine love wants to take you to the next level. And if you stuck on a family love and stuck on brotherly love and stuck on erotic love, you'll never get to agape love. Agape love fulfills all your enjoyment. Not only that, when we talk about that agape love, divine, it comes from the Lord. I want to also look about the safe house. A safe house now is a house that is there to protect you. Whenever there's someone that gets in trouble, someone wants to point them out there, they will take you in and say, we want to put you under safe protection. And we'll move you to what we call a safe house. Safe house means that the enemy can't get to you. Safe house means nobody know where you're located. A safe house is a place where you can go and you can get rest, you can get peace, and you don't have to worry about anything bothering you on the outside. That's what a safe house is. But whenever you get in a safe house, things have to change. Your identity have to change. Your name have to change. The places you go have to change. You can never go back to your past once you get in a safe house. God, I wish I had somebody in the spirit with me that was trying to see where I'm going. See, if I have some real Bible readers, they'll know what I'm talking about, a safe house. God, have mercy. A safe house. And what happens is right now, some of us, we are not in the safe house. Because if you was in the safe house, you wouldn't be worried like you are. God, have mercy. If you really was in the safe house, oh, God, everybody up in here will be jumping up and shaking their hands. Can I tell you something? It's really not that the safe house is not available, but what has happened is that you won't go in the safe house.
And it's got a, and the problem is that you have a problem with loving yourself. God have mercy. See, because if you love yourself, you'll go to the safe house. Because if you're on the outside of the safe house, baby, you don't love yourself, because you allow the enemy to do anything to you. And sometimes you just sell out and give up to the enemy. I love God and I love myself. Watch this. The Bible says what? To love them as you love yourself. That's why you can't love folk you don't love yourself. Watch this. Let's get in the text. I want to get in the Bible here. The Bible here in Genesis chapter 6, it begins to read. Go to somebody. Let's go to verse 1 and let's begin to read it as we go into the Word of God. And it says, and it came to pass, that's Genesis 6, 1, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And now, before I go to the next verse, I wanna say this, is that in the beginning, when all of the men that was being born, they had daughters. The Bible said that the women was fair, and I understand that fair means they looked good. Turn around and say, everybody looked good. And I can understand why they look good, because God created Adam and God created Eve. If God created them, he was a hunk and she was a coke bottle. God have mercy. And so I can understand that, because anything God touched, it's got to be good. In fact, when God created them, he said, I like it. And so what happens is that when the multiplying began to come, the men looked at the women and they took them to be their wives. They fellowship with them. They did everything they wanted to do with them. It was a lot of pleasure. But let's continue to look at the text. It says that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair. Watch this. It means here is that they looked at them and they had a desire to have them because of their looks. Oh God, y'all don't hear me. Now watch this. Why you got to be careful on your desire to have something because of the way it looks. Y'all don't hear me. Just because something looked like it's good don't evidently mean it's good for you. Just because it looked like it'll do don't evidently make it work. Everything that looked like it worked don't work. Can I come on here? I'm trying to help somebody here. And what has happened is that we are so hooked on the eyes, the desire of the eyes. And the eyes become connected to the mind, and the mind is connected to the heart. And so we look at things, and sometimes we can look at things, and then when we look at it, we have that desire. And then once we get it, I'm going to leave that alone. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Let me change your mind, because somebody's mind in the wrong place. Have you ever got a job and you say, I shouldn't have never took this job? Told you I'd change somebody's mind. But the truth of the matter is that because it sounds good and it looks good does not evidently mean that it works. And see, what happens is when you operate from your eyesight and not your spiritual eyes, you take things that is not going to work. And can I tell you something, as children of God, that all of us have had design eyes. We've looked at things and we went and got it. We went and purchased it. We bought houses because it looked nice. We bought cars because it looked nice. We got credit cards because it looked nice. God have mercy. And right today we're still suffering trying to pay for it, because it was all a desire in the eyes and not according to the Spirit of God. I'm trying to help somebody here. Watch this. Look at number 3. And the Lord said, my spirit, it shall not always strive with man, for that he also is what? All right, watch it. God said that my spirit shall not always dwell with man because man is flesh. I want you to understand that. Is that when God saw them, God said, my spirit can't dwell with them because they're not operating off of the spirit. They're operating off of the flesh. God said, my spirit is not going to be with them. I'm not going to take them and bless them. I'm not going to give them these houses and give them the land. I'm not going to do all this for them. My spirit is with you to multiply. My spirit is with you to bless you. But my spirit is not going to be there when you want to do what you want and not what the spirit says. God's spirit has to be your guide. Some of us cannot go nowhere because we won't allow God to guide us. You don't want God to direct you. You want to do what you want to do instead of what God wants you to do. And if it was God's spirit guiding you, the church would be packed. Cheers everywhere. Oh, God. And watch this. Folk already saying, what Pastor Gray talk about? The lover and the safe house. What is it? It's because you want to hear all kinds of other stuff, but you don't want to hear that God ain't going to bless you with your mess. Y'all don't hear me. God wants you to be willing to get rid of your mess. God wants you to be willing to get rid of your own spirit. God said, I'm not going to work a thing out with a wicked spirit. The wicked spirit is going to have to go. Can I tell you something? God's not going to get rid of your wicked spirit until you ask him to. He said, my spirit ain't going to dwell with you. He said, my spirit not going to dwell with man all the time. He said, my spirit that is with them, I'm blessing them. I'm giving them everything that they want. Can I tell you something? Here, that's why there's not an anointing in folk lives today. It's because the manifestation of the Holy Spirit will not manifest itself. It's because of your wickedness. I'm not saying that he's not there. God has always been there. I'm not saying that God changed. God will never change. But God will not put up with your foolishness. Listen, can I tell you something? If you're going to pray, be real in your prayer. Why are you praying and still yet you're not? Listen, don't waste your time. Don't waste God's time. If you really want God to do something, pray with a right mind and a right heart. Don't just get on your knees and blabber words out your mouth. Because God is not foolish. God is not ignorant. He sees and knows everything. He knows who's real up in this church, and he knows who's not. The reason why you cannot be blessed is because a manifestation of God's spirit is not manifesting in your life. Every time you touch something alive, it dies. See, y'all want to hear every time you touch it, it comes alive. Baby, the devil is alive. It's alive until you get to it. I was doing all right till I met you. I was doing bad all by myself. I'm trying to help somebody. I'm trying to. See, folk don't want to hear the truth. House was all comfortable. Just got off the mess. House all comfortable. Got finished crying and finished getting out of debt and lost everything. Everybody walked out on me. The Lord fixed it. And here I am now back in the same old mess because I let a bad spirit back in my house instead of changing the spirit changed me. And a manifestation of the Holy Spirit is gone. No power in the house. Don't even have money to pay the light bill. No food in the icebox. While I was by myself, I did have some eggs. While I was by myself, I did have some baking soda. While I was by myself, I did have a drip. Now my pipes are all busted, and I can't even flush my toilet because there ain't no anointing in my house. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. When the anointing leaves, everything leaves. Oh, God. Watch this. Watch this. Look at this. He said, yet his days shall be 120 years. You know what God was saying? God was saying this. God said, I'm going to cut man's years. And he said, the reason why I'm going to cut his years, he said, because if you think I'm going to give you all these years and let you be full of mess, the devil is a lie. Prior to him cutting the years of 120, if you would just look whenever you get a chance, in the fifth chapter of Genesis, the Bible says that Adam lived to be 930 years. His third son, Seth, lived to be 912 years. Methuselah, the great-great-great-great-grandson of Seth, lived to be 969 years. Then his son, Lamech, lived to be 777 years. Do you see how long men used to live? Can I just top it off? Noah was 500 years when he began to have Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Y'all don't hear me. The boy was bad. 500 years having babies. Baby, and that means he was blessed by God. It's in the Bible. Read it. It's in your fifth chapter. All you got to do is read it. So I ain't read it because you ain't picking up your Bible. If you stop reading the 23rd number of Psalms, baby, and start reading something else, it'll help you. You already know the 23rd numbers of Psalms, but you're so hooked on it, you don't even know what it means no more. Because all you did is wrote, the Lord is my shepherd. I said, I want, baby, tell me what a shepherd does. Tell me how a shepherd keep you. Tell me what a shepherd looks like. Tell me what a shepherd smell like. I can tell you, baby, my shepherd is the lover. Oh, and my shepherd is my safe house. God, y'all don't hear me. Watch this, watch this. Watch this. Can I go to Psalms? I want y'all to go to Psalms with me. Let me go to Psalms real quick. And I think it's somewhere in the 90 chapter of Psalms. That's our 90 and 10. Look at this thing. He says, I'm going to cut their years to be 120 years. And the reason why I'm going to cut their years to be 120 years is because of the things that they're doing. God said, I'm not pleased with them, so I'm not going to let you live long life and long jeopardy. So he said, it's going to be 120 years. And now the way things are, I looked in Psalms 90 and 10. Look what it says. The days of our years are 80 years. And listen, can I tell you that 70 years? God said, now you're getting to be 70 years. He said, now it went down from 120 to 70 years. Y'all don't hear me. And watch this. Now, not only that. He said, but because I'm merciful. And if by reason of strength. Did y'all know what that means? If by reason of strength, that means if I decide to be merciful to you, if I decide to bless you bountifully, in other words, if you decide in the Bible where it tells you, children, honor your father and your mother, that thy days shall be lengthened. If by chance you begin to obey my word, I add on to your life. Oh, I wish I had some believers here. God is the one that would add on to my life. God have mercy. And somebody said, but I don't have no mother. I don't have no father. Baby, you got a senior citizen that you ought to treat like a mother. You got a senior citizen, man, that you ought to treat like a grandfather. And can I tell you something? Is that the elderly man, that elderly woman is responsible for treating us right too. You can't talk to us any kind of way and kick us like we are nothing. Because if you want God to add on more years to your life, then you got to give God some praises and you got to obey God's word. Listen, the youth gotta obey God's word. The child gotta obey God's word. The senior citizens gotta obey God's word. Everybody in here have to obey God's word. It's not that I'm 80 years old. Listen to me. Baby, you can be an old fool. Can I tell you something? But I declare that God's been too good to you for you to still be foolishness. It seems to me that somebody's been praying for you and God's been kind to. I'm trying to help somebody. Now, I'm not trying to hurt nobody. But the truth of the matter is that all of us have to get in the word of God. Okay, watch this. He said, they be fourscore, to my 80. Yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow. He says that even in these years, you're going to have some tars and snags. The longer you live, the more you're going to have some tars and snags. But, oh God, he says, don't worry, you're an overcomer. He said, don't worry, I'll take care of you. Don't worry, I'm still the lover. Don't worry, I'm still your safe house. Don't worry, I still keep you. Don't worry, I still feed you. Don't worry, I watch over you. Watch this. He says, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Can I tell you something here? is that we're going to depart. We're going to leave. I don't care how old you are now, how young you are. Can I tell you that all of us in here, we're going to fly away one day. Listen. Thank you, God, if you give me 80 years. Thank you, God, if you give me 70 years. But if you just be the lover for one more day, if you just be my safety house for one more day. I wish I had some believers here that, God, if you just watch over me one more day, everything be all right. How many of y'all just want to make it through the night? Listen, I'm not worried about tomorrow, baby. I speak life in tomorrow, but God, I need you to be my lover today. I want you to rock me in your arms today. I want you, Lord God, to cradle me today. I want you to dry my tears today. I want you to be my friend today. And Lord, let me enter into your safety house now. So that's what God wants to do. He wants to be your lover and your safety. All right. Let's go back. Going back to Genesis. Chapter 4. Chapter 6, verse 4. Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. And this is very important that we understand it, because many have always talked about a theological conclusion on it. It said, there were giants in the earth in those days. And also, after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. Okay, I want to deal with that just for a few seconds, because many of them are confused concerning this. Now, let me say this to you, because the question is always said, are there angels or are there men? There's two stories to it. The first one is that said that they are the children that of Seth that mingled in the relationship with the children of Cain. Everybody understand that? That's one. It said that the children of Seth that mingled with the children of Cain. The second one says that they are the sons of God was the angels. Many say, but how can an angel do this? Well, let me tell you this. That's the story that, first of all, y'all remember that Job says, it's in the Bible, that the sons of God came to visit and the devil came also. Help me, somebody. That's one. The second one is, remember the three men that came to visit Abraham. Oh, help me, somebody. And two went down to Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. Help me, somebody. And the men of the city saw them, and they desired to have the men of God. Oh, y'all don't. I'm trying to help somebody here. And the Bible said, be careful who you entertain. Now, because... am I helping somebody here? It could be an angel. God have mercy. And so I just wanted to point that out, that when we look at the text here, it says that the sons of God came and they desired the women. Oh, God. Yep. Watch this. And so it says, and in those days after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. Now, it lets us know here that these men were strong men. These men had a name because of their capability of the things that they could do. Well, understand this, that if they were angels, they did have some strength about them. They were very large. It has been cited that in Egypt and different areas around the continent that there were men that were 9 to 11 feet, their bones, their found in the ground. Help me, somebody here. And so what happens when we begin to think about this and look at this, it says that these men here, that they were renowned, they were mighty men. Watch this. It says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Watch this. Now watch this. Now that these men have come together to be with these women, the Bible said that God looked at everything that he made and he said, look at them. They are wicked upon the earth. When I continue to read the verse, it says is that and God saw that in the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. Can I deal with that for one second? God said that he looked at the men that he had created. He looked at the young lady. He looked at the young boy. He looked at them and saw that there was so much wickedness upon the face of the earth. The Bible said their thought and their imaginations was wicked. Not just wicked, but continuously. What God did, watch it, not only were they doing things that was wicked. Can I tell you something? Just pause for a second. And everybody just sit and just do a think. Oh, God, can I tell you that God is just looking at your thoughts and your heart and knowing that some of y'all say, if I can only get out of here, and pastor would start hooping and stop talking about this. Can I tell you something? God knows your heart. That's what it was like. God said, look at you. Ain't nothing right about you. You look good on the outside, but your mind is wicked. God said, look at you. You're walking up in here like you this and you that, and your spirit ain't nothing but full of junk. God have mercy. God said that not only were they living any kind of way, but their imagination was wicked. Can you imagine folks sitting up in the church right now? The game is about to start. The game is over. And then somebody said, can you understand what I'm trying to say? Is that the wickedness of the imagination. Right now in somebody's mind, they're thinking about how they're going to attack something that happened to them on yesterday. Right now in somebody's mind, they're worried about who don't like them or who came up in here this morning rolling their eyes. Wicked imagination. Can I tell you something that God said? I look beyond everything and I search the heart. And I know some of your hearts ain't right. I thank God that he looks at my heart. Because when I make a mistake, he looks at my heart and know my heart is still right. I wish I had some believers to understand that. I thank God that man is not the one that looks at my heart and know who I am. It's God, because if man had that authority, I'd be dead now. I thank God that you ain't the judge of all my life, because God knows my heart. God know my heart. He ain't right. She ain't right. She ain't trying to change. He ain't like you a God, baby. I come today to tell you, that's why you in the place you at now. Because while you saying I ain't right, you speaking a curse on your ain't life. But I come today to tell you, everything going to be all right. I come today to tell you, he knows my mind. He knows my heart. Can I tell you, sometimes my mind get flaky, but my heart is still right. That's why I say, don't counter towards my heart, counter towards my mind. Because there's so much on my mind sometimes. But God knows my heart. When I can't come to church, God know I want to be in church. When I miss church, God know I feel it in my spirit. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When I can't come to church because I got to go to work, God knows my heart. Oh, come on. Anybody thank God for being a heart reader, being a mind reader? He knows my heart. He knows my heart. He knows that I want to do better. He knows I want to get stronger. He knows I want to get in his word. He knows I want to be a prayer warrior. But I got some things against me. I got some obstacles that are against me, trying to prevent me. I can't go no farther, church. You know, y'all understand what I'm trying to say? Is that the devil is trying to mess you up. The devil is trying to kill you. And God's looking at your heart, though. So I thank God for looking at my heart. Let me go. I want y'all to go with me to Proverbs. Let me go to Proverbs real quick. I want you to go to Proverbs. Go to 16th chapter. Go to Proverbs 16th chapter. Oh God. I'm gonna go to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6 and verse 16. Proverbs 6 and verse 16. Y'all see that? Proverbs 6, verse 16. I'm gonna go down. Watch this. Proverbs 6, verse 16. These 16 doeth the Lord hate. Yea, 7 are an abomination unto him. Read verse 17. All right, last verse, verse 18. Now watch it. Understand. Here, even in Proverbs, it begins to tell us that the things that God hates, And God said he does not like wicked imagination. Listen, you cannot be a child of God and you are trying to harm somebody else. Listen, I'm trying to tell you your blessings are stopped. They are clogged up like a pipe with a lot of hair and with something that went down the wrong way and it's stopping the water from flushing it. Because whenever you are clogged up with a whole lot of mess, things cannot flush. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm trying to say. You got poison stuck up in you that won't even get out because you're messy, you think messy, and you want to harm somebody else with your old messy self. But I come by today to tell you that I've got a Brillo pass called SOS. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It will clean all the mess out, get rid of the rust, it would get rid of all this stuff. It's because I'm out in the business of letting God watch me, prune me, and purge me. I'm not holding on to all that foolishness because I'm trying to get my blessings. I wish I had some folk in here that want to get their blessings. I wish I had some folk in here that God, you want God to deliver you. You want God to protect you. I'm not going to think negative. I'm not going to put it in my mind. And I'm sure not going to let it come out of my mouth. Oh, God. I'm almost finished here. I got to finish this later. My mouth never was designed to cuss you. My mouth never was designed to curse you out. My mouth never was designed to get you straight. You don't hear me. But what my mouth was designed is to forgive you and to pronounce blessings upon you. You don't hear me. My mouth was designed to pray for you. You don't hear me. My mind was designed to think righteous about you, even when you negative. You don't hear me. My mind was designed to be a blessing in your life and in my life, because I realize that if I'm designed to be a blessing, I'm also designed to be a blessing for somebody else. You better be careful who you come up against. You better be careful who you're trying to tread on, because the one you tread on won't be the one God send you to help you later. But I come in there to tell you, I'm not going to ignore you. I'm not going to mistreat you, because I found out that it ain't in you, it's that spirit that's inside of you. But it's something greater that is in me than he that is in all the world. I can stand up against that spirit. I can tell the devil to go back to hell from which it came. I can stand up against your foul mouth and your negative mind. That's why I can shake your hand knowing you ain't no good, but I'm still loving you anyhow. Because I realize as long as I got God in me, maybe it'll rub off on you. I'm trying to help somebody. Watch this thing here. I was thinking about this thing when I said about the lover. And I looked at this thing because the Bible says here is that God was so angry with man that he had repented that he had made man. And God said, I'm going to destroy all of them. But God said, everybody that's here, their mind is wicked. Can I tell you something? Surely everybody in regular Baptist church ain't wicked this morning. Surely I got somebody in the church that's got a right mind. Surely everybody that's standing on the pulpit ain't wicked. Surely everybody in the choir ain't wicked. It's got to be one that's got righteousness in them somewhere. I want to know, is it anybody that's got some spirit of righteousness inside of them? Surely. Can I tell you something as I get ready to finish? Everybody in here don't hate you, baby. Everybody in here ain't talking about you. You're going to find a group. You're going to find a few people. But there are some folk in here that genuinely love you. Oh, I'm trying to help somebody in here. Everybody in the choir ain't against you, baby. Somebody like to hear you sing. Everybody in the choir ain't trying to hurt you. There's somebody that's praying for you. Everybody on the pulpit ain't against you. Surely there's one that's praying for you. I come today to tell you regular, there's a lover of mankind in here somewhere by you. Somebody praying for you. Somebody asking God to bless you. Somebody's asking God to bring you out of your mess. Oh God, watch this, watch this. This is what God said. He said, I'm looking around and I'm looking around and I can't find him. But he said, wait. No. Oh, y'all don't hear me. He said, I see Noah in the corner there. He said, while everybody else is thinking negative, Noah saying, Lord, I go. Y'all don't hear me. I see a Noah over there that's got righteousness inside of him. I see a Noah over there that's calling my name. Oh, y'all don't hear me. While everybody else is against you, I see somebody else over there that's for you. Oh, y'all don't hear me. I see a Noah that believes that God is still God. Can I tell you something? The folk that have become unthankful, and the Bible said that their conscience have left them, that inner being that designs, that tells you right from wrong, has been gone. It has been kicked out of their mind. But old Noah said, Lord, I still have a conscience. Can I tell you what he says? He says here, he said, Lord, I ain't perfect. I ain't perfect. But Lord, I ain't what I used to be. You don't hear me. He said, I still got some bad bolts in me. But Lord, there's something still in me that tells me to keep on going on. In spite of my bad things, God, I still love you. You don't hear me. He said, God, I love you because you first loved me. He said, Noah said, Lord, I do love you. And I'm not going to act like everybody else had. But God, I believe that you're the same God that will bless me when everybody else trying to curse. You don't hear me. God says, I want to do something for you, Noah, because I see righteousness inside of you. And because of your righteousness, I'm going to have mercy on you. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Do I have anybody in here that need God to be merciful in their life? Come on. Some perfect but imperfect folk. Y'all don't hear me. Perfect because of God, but imperfect because of myself. That's Lord needs you to be righteous so that he can have mercy on you. Can I tell you something? If you just do right, God will have mercy on your life. God will be the lover that you never had. God will not only be the lover you never had, but I understand now why Hosea had to do what he had to do. Because when Gomer walked off, God said, Hosea, go back and get her. I didn't understand it by and by I did. But when it first happened, I said, Lord, why are you telling Hosea to go back and get that prostitute? He said, because I am the lover. She's falling in love with other things, but I still love her in spite of what she's doing. Can I get a witness here? Is it anybody here understand that God loves you in spite of what you do? Did anybody in here understand that God is your lover? That God wants to be with you in the midnight hours when the one in the bed can't communicate with you? You can call your head lover. You can call the one that protects your house. The one that protects you on your job. The one that takes care of you when you're in the streets at night. The one that watched over you while you were drinking in the club the other night. Is it anybody here know that God is a perfect lover? While you were doing your dirt in somebody else's bed, it was your lover who protected you from being couched. I'm trying to help somebody. Did anybody here know God is a merciful God? He's kind hearted. He's a just God. He's a wonderful God. Did anybody in here know I should have been caught? I should have been locked up. I should have had my funeral. My obituary should have been wrote. But instead, my lover said, you won't be locked up. I'm going to set you free. You're not going to die. You're about to start living. Is it anybody here? Thank God for being a lover today. Thank you, God. I need you in my life. God said, I'm your lover. He said, can I tell you something? He says, when everybody forsake you, I'll pick you up. God says, no no matter who comes up against you, I'm going to be with you. God, y'all don't hear me. He says, you do not have to think like others think. He said, if you keep your mind on him. Oh, God, y'all don't hear me. Can I tell you, there's a plot to kill you right now. God, y'all don't hear me. In fact, there's a warrant out for your arrest right now. But because God is the CID, the FBI, and the Secret Service, y'all don't hear me. He knows who's trying to get me, so he sends somebody down to get me and wrap their arm. Oh, y'all don't hear me. And say, I've got to hide you. I've got to be your protection. I've got to be your shield so that the enemy won't get to you. Can I get a witness here? God wants to be your safety house. Oh, God, help me, somebody. Can't finish this today, but let me tell you something. I said, God said, I see you. I see your heart. And I know that you are genuine. God said, nobody don't understand. God said, I understand you. I see you. I know where you're located. He said, I know you want things to change. And so you're trusting me. He said, the truth of the matter is you ain't all the way there. But just a little faith will move mountains. I dare you to give God some praises for being the God that knows your heart. Thank you, God, for knowing my heart. Thank you, God, for knowing my heart. Thank you, God. He knows you mean well. So he's going to bless you because you got a good heart. Come on, give God some praises up in here. The doors of the church is open.